everyone. Welcome back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing. We're presented by PPV.com. I'm Dan Canobio. He's the champ. Chris Algieri, PPV.com is the best place for live sports, whether it's boxing, wrestling. They got tennis on there. They got a little bit of everything. This July, Errol Spence comes back to the ring to fight Tim Tszyu. We have live interactive chats on fight night, content on fight week. Those of you that have been with us for a while know that PPV.com is our proud presenting sponsor and the great job they do with putting on fights. No subscriptions, streaming anywhere. Don't have to lock you in for a year. Go fight by fight, event by event. We are very happy to be working with PPV.com. We're also in association with Uncrowned and Yahoo Sports. All right, Chris, we got fights in Egypt. You ready to hop on the plane and head over to Africa? I just realized that I'm really going to just reveal how dumb I am. I just realized that Egypt is in Africa. I looked on the... Wow.
Egypt is certainly in Africa.
That was Middle East for some reason.
Geography is not really your thing, though. You're not really known for that. But
words, yeah, not my thing. Pyramid. Math, not my thing.
The Pyramid of Giza. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's actually really cool. But yeah, no, I think we would have needed to have left like yesterday for this one. But whatever. We're gonna be watching from home.
I have no problem with that, but the amount of traveling that we do. And I see our friends Sergio Mora and Todd Grisham are there. They're ripping ATVs. They're on donkeys. They're getting the full experience. I'm a little jealous, but also not jealous of that flight home. But it's going to be a scene out there in Egypt for this. That's what I think this fight really is about. It's flexing what Ring is capable of, flexing what Turkey can do, because the fight is not good. Let's be honest here. Rico Verhoeven, a kickboxer, one of the best kickboxers to ever lace him up, does not really deserve to step into the ring with one of the best heavyweights of this generation and the heavyweight champion right now. The guy that's a top pound for pound list in Alexander Usyk. That's my problem with this fight. The WBC sanctioning it. Usyk taking the fight, I'm in the middle a little bit, because this is what guys of his ilk do. Like, we've seen Joshua do it when he fought Ngannou. We've seen Fury do it when he fought Ngannou. But the only difference is Fury was the champ, but it wasn't a WBC belt, wasn't on the line. It was a 10-round fight. But Fury wasn't looked at as like top pound for pound. Joshua wasn't a champ then. Usyk's the guy, and there are other guys waiting for their turn, like capable guys. But that's boxing, guys. His meritocracy does not exist. It's a sport, not a sport. It's a business, Chris.
Yeah, first and foremost, it's a business, and as a fighter, you ultimately are an entertainer. And it's funny, I actually remember that. I learned that in my own career. I was driving to an Atlantic City. It was very early in my career, and I kept seeing billboard after billboard. And it was a DJ, it was a country singer, mm-hmm. and then it was a boxing. And I was like, oh man, we're all the same thing. We're just entertainers. We're here to sell tickets. We're here to get eyes. We're here to put butts in seats. Nobody cares whether we live or die. We're here to perform. And that was a harsh learning experience for me early in my pro career. But yeah, no, everything you said about this fight is completely valid. The issue is not that Usyk is going to go grab a bag over by the pyramids against a very, very good top flight kickboxer. The issue is that the title is sanctioned on the line for this. And it's just, there's so many more deserving guys who have been working their entire lives to get to this point. Rico's like, he's got one pro boxing fight. Granted, best kickboxer, best heavyweight kickboxer of maybe ever of note. Maybe the quote of heavyweight male kickboxing.
Did you just make him a woman?
No, I mean there's females, but there's not that many female heavyweights. But he is the GOAT. Potentially the GOAT. I'm so used to saying GOAT now because of.
I was going
to
say, did you just turn Verhoeven into a female?
Man. Oof, boy.
It's okay. It's not me just making these mistakes on with the mic.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Anyway, so that's really the issue, the fact that this is a sanctioned fight for the titles. And there's other fights that we want to see Usyk fighting. Plus, he's also saying, like, I only got three more fights, including this one. It's like one of the last times we're ever going to see Usyk in his, quote-unquote, which is still looks like his prime, is against Rico, who's 1-0.
It's kind of a waste. Just like I got some heat for saying that I don't want to watch Canelo fight in Saudi Arabia, which is just a small gripe. Like, it's not like turning it off. It wasn't a slight at Canelo. I would do probably
still excited
the same
he's
thing.
He's back.
Right. Very excited Canelo's back. Still like Canelo. When I see him, I'm going to say drip, and I'm going to try to do an interview with him. I just want to watch him fight in the biggest fights possible. Like, we only have so many left of Canelo, who obviously isn't at Usyk's stature, but still Canelo. Like, he holds a different type of allure in boxing these days. I want to watch him fight in Vegas. I want to be part of those fight weeks. I want
him
to be huge.
In the same stature in terms of performance and but his stature in terms of star power, he's Hell probably yes. bigger. He's still bigger.
Way bigger.
Yeah. Canelo moves mountains, dude. Him coming back, regardless of where he's at in his career, at this point right now, he still moves the dial.
Catching some heat on socials for that clip. That's fine. We have our hitters out there that were defending in the comments. I see you guys. Thank you. There was a crazy Canelo fan coming at me. Dan, you're a lab. And I was like, a lab? A lame-ass bitch. That's what she called me. Because her handle was Spicy Canela. Spicy Canela. Well, she's a Canelo super fan. And she's like, Dan and Chris, all they do is shit on Canelo. Then they want to be his friend. It's like, and then in the comments, like, they've never once shit on him. Like, other people were coming to our, like, they don't shit on any fighters. They're a pro fighter podcast. And they, what if anything, they're saying how awesome Canelo fight weeks are in Vegas, not Saudi Arabia. But
no, we this is a very pro Canelo podcast. And it's not, we're not fanboys. We like Canelo. I like him personally. Like him the way he fights. I like what he's done for the sport. You know, has he done everything right? No one does everything right. But listen, the Canelo fight weeks are huge.
Right. And that's kind of the same thing here with Usyk. It's like, do I wish Usyk was fighting Caballero? Wardley.
Well, not Wardley anymore.
Fury. It's basically just Caballero.
Wilder. Some people want Wilder.
Yeah.
David Hay called for Wilder, by the way. He agrees with me.
Who?
David Hay.
Okay. I like David Hay. I thought he did a good job on the Tyson Fury broadcast. I thought he did great. But yeah, I want to see Usyk in there with the top guys. That's my main problem with this fight, is that the belts are there. He's there as still number one pound for pound or two. I think it's interchangeable with him in Inoue. So yeah, I'm going to have an issue when he's fighting a minus 3,000 favorite.
Yeah,
he's still at the top of his game. Usyk, this is his first fight since July 2025. That's when he stopped Daniel Dubois. An unbelievable, impressive performance considering how good Dubois looked against Wardley. Usyk goes in there for the second time, toys with him, drops him, knocks him, his ass out. So that was the last time he saw Usyk. Verhoeven, this is your guy. This is a kickboxing champion. Mm-hmm. Your sport, Chris. I saw you on Instagram throwing them kicks, looking damn good doing so. Verhoeven's first boxing bout in close to 12 years. He has one boxing match. It was a second round knockout of Panos Finferra, who was 0-5 heading into the fight. Verhoeven landed 12 of 36 punches. Take what you want with that. I can't find his record. His record is really good, but I see different numbers everywhere. I've seen 54-10 on BoxRec. Only 16 knockouts in the 64 fights. It's something it's really good. It's somewhere in that range, right?
Well, you can't trust BoxRec at all, because even my kickbox record, they have names on there, the guys that didn't fight and places I didn't fight. Like literally like fights that didn't happen. They must have seen them.
I'm in places you can't pronounce talking to girls you don't know.
Drake. So you can't trust BoxRec when it comes to kickboxing or amateurs really. So, but he is a prolific kickboxer in terms of how many fights he's had. But we have to keep in mind, kickboxing bouts in that style that he fights in, not the same style that I used to fight in terms of kickboxing. I fought 10, 12 rounds in my kickboxing fights. He fights 5-round fights in championship fights.
Wait a second, you fought what?
I fought 10 and 12 round fights as a kickboxer.
Wow, that's a long time. I thought they only went 5. No. I thought it was 3 or 5, kind of like UFC format. Nope.
Depends on the style. If it's Thai or K-1 style, they're much shorter. They do Grand Prix, you fight multiple fights in a night. You could end up fighting, you know, 9 rounds in a night, because you fight three rounder to get to a Grand Prix title or something like that.
Did you ever do that?
No, I didn't fight that style. So
did you ever fight 2 times in one night?
Yes, I have done that.
But amateurs or
they were amateurs. Yes.
Because I was thinking, I'm going back to that Rampage story when he had to fight Chuck Liddell and Wanderlei Silva in the same night. And I just
those Grand Prix are
fucking
insane.
Get over that 10-minute rounds.
Yeah, MMA, that didn't last very long. Kickboxing, that was a big
thing. Those guys probably got, that's the closest thing we got to like death matches.
Yeah, that was the least amount of rules. It was rough. But the K1 Grand Prix, those tournaments were sick. And those, you know, that's how those guys, that's how heavyweight champions in K1 were established. But it kind of changed rules a little bit, changed in terms of went from, you know, fighting three potential fights in three rounds to one 5-rounder for championship fights. That's what Rico was used to doing. So, again, different style than what I did, but you know, they had kicks and knees and elbows, and there was some clinching. But yeah, and that's another thing about kickboxing is you fight over a bunch of different rule sets, so your record can be kind of mixed up. It's not just like boxing; it's not Queensberry rules across the board. Like you'll have Thai fights, you'll have low kick fights, you'll have American kickboxing style, you'll have full contact, you'll have, you know, they're all different designations of the same style of sport or different style of the same sport. But what Rico did in terms of the majority of his career was in that K1 style and championship were 4 or 5 rounds. So this is a 12 rounder. This is a boxing match. You can't kick. You can't slow the pace. You can't keep the distance long. You can't break things
can't
up.
Hide.
You cannot hide. You can never hide, but you really can't hide.
I know you can't hide. You can never hide, but in MMA, like
in MMA, you're getting pieced up.
You go for the takedown.
Yeah. I can't do that in kickboxing.
Can do it, but
you can throw a kick in the middle to change range and break up a guy who has really good hands. If you're able to get that kick off and make a little distance, you know, especially at heavyweight, you get a little reprieve, but it's not like going to the ground where you can actually really cover. There's nowhere to hide in a ring, kickboxing or boxing, but there is a gap in speed between boxing and kickboxing.
There's going to be a gap in speed in this fight. Yeah. If Usyk takes it serious, because this isn't Tyson Fury, I didn't train. Here comes Ngannou. His ass is on the canvas. He's embarrassing us as boxing fans on this boxing versus MMA debate.
I had so many friends who were mad that night.
Bro, I went back and watched. We were still working at John Boy, and we had Ariel on. And Ariel's like, you guys are being way too You're being way too disrespectful to Ngannou. Like, he's not going to win, but he can do something. He's going to surprise you guys. And he went in there and did that. Because that's because Fury didn't take it serious. Usyk will take this fight serious. I think Usyk has way more pride than Tyson Fury. I know you can't measure that. That's just an opinion. And I just think he's still at the top of his game. Like, Fury had been down to Wilder. He had been down to Cunningham. He had been ballooned up to 400 pounds, lost all the weight, in and out of the ring. That's not Usyk. Usyk is a way different breed. I expect this one, we'll give our picks in a little bit. I expect Usyk to take it serious, but I also want to put out a disclaimer right now for those that are new to the show. Chris Algieri is an ISKA kickboxing world champion. He's one of the very few people that have won a kickboxing title and a boxing title. So he is very well versed in the kickboxing world. I just wanted to make that clear to anyone that hasn't been listening. Correct.
Correct. WK as well. So I had two world titles in kickboxing.
I sold you short. What the frick? I got to go check your IMDb page.
I'm in my office. I have my belts all over the place right now. They're not hung up yet, obviously. But.
Another thing about Rico here is he's got the 16 stoppages.
Yeah.
I think. But how many of those came via punches? Because I tried to go in and look. BoxRec didn't differentiate the knockouts. Just says knockout. I know he's not a big knockout guy. I know you can say this way better than me. Do you know how many of those were on hands? Pop, pop,
or not exactly. Kicks? No, but I just know he's not the kind of guy who scored a lot of stoppages, and which is interesting because kickboxing, especially heavyweight, you see a lot of stoppages, a lot of knockouts. Kicks make a big difference. I had way more knockouts kickboxing than I did boxing. And it wasn't all from kicks either, because kicks can set up punches. You can hurt a guy to kick, finish him with hands. But Rico is a volume guy. He's super durable. He's tough as nails. You can close his eye, drop him. He can look like he's knocked out, and he'll get up and win. He just has a tremendous amount of desire, a ton of heart, fights to the bitter end. He is an absolute warrior, but he is not a puncher. He's not a knockout puncher. He's not even really a knockout kicker. I mean, everybody can knock everybody out with kicks, which is why you get so many kicks, stoppages in kickboxing. But there are no kicks in this, so that doesn't matter. So the only thing we're talking about is hands. And in terms of hands, Rico is not a knockout puncher.
Great.
But he's busy. He is very busy. Throws a lot of punches.
Okay.
Even in kickboxing. Even with the kicks, he punches a lot.
So you think he's going to come in there and just, you know, volume?
I think volume.
Pity-patter, volume? Or is he going to be like, holy shit, this is Alexander Usyk. This guy can counter like no other, hands in my pockets.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Rico's going to come out, and he's long and he's big. And I think he's going to come out pumping the jab. He's going to be firing combinations, and he's going to be scrappy. He's a scrappy dude. And he's not going to be deterred. I think it's going to be very difficult for Usyk to shut him down, especially because Usyk starts slow generally in fights. And with Rico especially, not really knowing what's coming his way, a lot of times guys who are transitioning from other sports kind of throw awkward shots. And you got to be careful early on. You saw
unorthodox.
That when Mayweather fought McGregor, you saw him starting real quiet, you know, hands high, making sure I know when things are coming, figuring out this weird rhythm that you have. And I think Rico's rhythm is going to be a little funky. I don't even know what it's going to look like because I've never seen him just hands. So I think it's going to take a little bit for Usyk to figure him out.
There's really nothing to go on. Like with Ngannou, when he fought Joshua, when he fought Fury, we're like, all right, this guy has so many knockouts in the UFC. It's a way bigger organization than Glory Kickboxing and kickboxing in general. You had to really search Verhoeven. No offense to him. Like, I'm not trying to disrespect him whatsoever. This is insane, the record that he has. This guy hasn't lost since 2015.
Yeah, I was going to say 11 years. Which,
and there's a lot of parity in kickboxing, in that sport.
Yeah, exactly. In kickboxing, that's unheard of. These guys knock each other off all the time.
That's super impressive, but we're talking about boxing. It's a different discipline. It's a different sport. I think fans have grown to know this over the last 10 years when we've gotten these crossover fights, whether it's an MMA fighter versus a boxer. This is probably the most high-profile kickboxer versus boxing matchup. Would you say that? Like, is this unprecedented? Have we seen this before?
Oh, absolutely. I said, like, their records are pretty similar, actually. It's kind of eerie. You've got Usyk, who is like the GOAT, who's beat everybody.
Oh, there it is.
Here's my ISK title, by the way.
What a flex.
You've got Usyk, who...
Kickboxing Chris.
Dominant heavyweight champion. So good that he has to beat guys twice. And that's Verhoeven. Verhoeven is the same thing. He's beaten the top guys, all his contemporaries, he's beaten them twice. Because they're so good, they get back to another title shot, and he just beats them again.
Like it is pretty crazy.
It's very Usyk-like, and you got two GOATs. So yes, two GOATs. I keep saying GOAT. Two GOATs.
You got
fighting.
Shields on the mind.
I called her last fight.
She's banned from all MVP events.
I saw that.
Dude, I was in the room for that slap.
The angle, I couldn't really see. Did she make contact?
She landed partially landed, like Le'Veon Bell,
on her face.
Yeah, got her pretty good. Le'Veon Bell and Michael Irving were in the middle of it, rampaged, watching it. Like, what is going on?
Banned.
She's banned from MVP, and then Baumgartner is filing some type of lawsuit, I don't really like fighters. I mean, they're never going to fight each other because they're the wrong size. But this is what boxing is about. You get slapped. You get into fights like Mitch Blood Green and Mike Tyson beating the frig out of each other in the streets of New York City.
Yeah, slamming each other on car hoods in the middle of Brooklyn.
I would pay anything to see that. That's the most, like, the craziest lore. Like, and then they fight in the ring. He almost killed him, Tyson said it, because he almost ran him over after. He thought he was dead. Like, Tyson, I remember that part of that story is he beat him up so bad that when he drove away from the scuffle, he's like, Mitch Blood Green is dead.
And he killed him when he drove off.
Yeah, I need to lay low for a little bit because I'm a murderer.
Yeah, and then they fought, and Mitch went the distance when Mike was knocking out everybody. Mitch was
tough, probably on meth, but...
I just saw Mitch at the... you saw
he's
him
still
too.
Yes, he is still alive.
Yeah,
oh,
he was at the New York State Hall of Fame in the induction last year.
God, I think I shook his hand. I was like, you're a bad dude.
Yeah, I got a photo with him. I was telling his... I think it was his sons or his grandsons were there. I was telling them how badass he was. He's a legend.
I'm sure he reminds them every chance that they get. Yeah, so another thing too here if I want Usyk to dominate, I don't want Usyk to go in there and look bad. I don't want Verhoeven to have moments, because it's just I'm not ready to see Usyk fall off, because the chatter will be so loud. Oh my God, Usyk struggled with a kickboxer. He's a minus 3,000 favorite. Like, I'm not ready for that conversation. I want this to be quick, clean, precise. Do what AJ did to Ngannou. So we can, as a boxing fans, we can pump our chests out and say, you can't mess with us, kickboxers. Just the same way you MMA guys can't mess with us in the ring.
I'm going to be the opposite. I am going to be happy if Rico does good. I don't want him to beat Usyk. Sorry, Rico. I love you, man. But this is...
What's good, in your opinion? Winning a round or two? Seeing the final bell?
Seeing the final bell would be very impressive. But even just making it competitive, like going out there and like biting down and fighting, I don't want to see just a one-sided outclass. I want to see Rico in this fight. I want to see him landing shots. I want to see him pushing the pace. I want to see him being real physical. I would be very proud of that kind of performance from Rico, you know, jumping up and fighting a living legend. Seeing the distance, that's like, dude, that's a win.
That's definitely a win for him. Yeah. A massive win.
But I'm a kickboxer. When Ngannou, so I was rooting for Ngannou because I know him personally, and I like it. Ngannou, I know his coach, I know his team.
Yeah, he was great. He's hard to root against the guy.
He's one of the best guys in combat sports. No question. So I wasn't upset about that. But again, as a boxing fan, I was like, come on, man, it's a UFC guy. You gotta dominate this guy. You gotta do what Joshua did. But I'm a kickboxer guy. I'm a kickboxer, so I got.
But people know you as a boxer.
Yeah, I mean, I am a boxer now.
Dough in boxing. You made your bones in kickboxing.
This is the sport where I am now. This is what I've grown into. But listen, that kickboxing side of me never goes away, man. This belt never goes away. This thing is tangible, dude. I can bite this thing. This thing is
that
real.
That thing is sick. That thing is pretty
it's
awesome
heavy too.
Put it down. Is it weighing you down? Will you run with that around your chest like the Murph?
I'm in a new neighborhood. I should show all the dads what they got here.
Bro, that would be say block party. They're all coming out in their like stupid chef aprons and like
I got three world title belts on me.
Nope. Overweight and just middle aged, and you just come out in your belts. That would be pretty badass.
They all know who I am. They just kind of look me up, but they were all right away. Like, this guy's in really good shape.
Yeah, what the hell?
Like, what the hell is this guy doing here?
It's annoying how the shape that you're in at your age, because I'm not anywhere near that. I got a gut. So do you think Verhoeven has a chance, Chris? Are you giving Verhoeven any shot against an all-time great in Usyk?
To win? No, I'm not. I don't see it. It's not a knock on Rico. It is a knock. It's not a knock on Rico. It's a knock on the timing of and who it is at this fight. I'd said this on a past show, and I got a little heat for it, and people think I was knocking AJ. I'm not knocking AJ, but like, there's a possibility he could beat one of the other guys. Maybe. Even that's a stretch. But Usyk, the guy is still operating at such a high level. It's not an old Usyk. I know he's old, chronologically, but he's not fighting old. And he's a current heavyweight champion of the world. Again, it's not like you're going to, and you're not going to, like you said, you're not going to catch Usyk slipping. He is hard-nosed, Eastern European, Ukrainian, dog-focused, coming in shape. He's not going to risk not being 100% focused.
That's what we think about Usyk.
Yeah.
Father Time is undefeated. 37 years old, maybe 38. I don't know. I'm bad with ages. But could Usyk take this lightly? Could he show some signs of slippage? Could he be looking towards the end of his career? Of course. I don't see it either. He, like I said, too prideful.
Just not in his makeup.
Not in his DNA. And I feel like even Usyk on his worst day, like even Usyk, even the fury that stepped into the ring against Ngannou, that level, you put that into Usyk, can still figure out a way to stop the fight. Because I think going the distance, no matter what, I think is a horrible look for Usyk. If he doesn't take him out, I think he's going to stop him. If he doesn't stop him, I think it's a bad look. Like pretty much going the distance, bad. And then I want to see him fight Caballero. He says he has two more fights after this. Caballero, please. Germany. That is a scene. That's going to be awesome. You know, Caballero stopped Frank Sanchez, who's on the undercard of this fight. Kind of forgot about that win for Caballero. He's so deserving.
Yeah.
And then do whatever you want in that last fight. If it's Wilder, if it's a fight in the U.S., if it's a fight in Poland, which is pretty close to the Ukraine. If you want to fight Fury again, go ahead. You want to fight Joshua. If Joshua beats Fury, because they're not ruling that out, despite them being friends and having this new bond. Get this out of the way, Usyk. Don't embarrass boxing, which you never have. In fact, you've been the coolest person we have in this sport. Like, I point to you, Usyk, and I say, guys, this is our heavyweight champion. How fucking cool is this guy? Like, he doesn't do a lot of interviews. He's funny. Like, he's cut from a different cloth.
There you go.
Usyk. There you go. I nailed that. But he can't embarrass us. I don't think he will embarrass us. I just get it out of the way. Just get this over with. It's going to be a cool scene. We'll all tune in. And then go fight Capoeira, and then we have zero qualms. Because there are some qualms. Like, people are starting to be like, all right, Usyk, you've been moving a little weird lately. You're giving up belts left and right. And you're not fighting Capoeira. You're not fighting Wardley after he beat Parker. Moving kind of weird. But I do think he's entitled to these types of fights because the others have done it.
Yes, and to the point about him giving up belts, I'm okay with that. If you're going to move this way, give up those belts. Let these other guys, let the Fabio Wardleys become world champion. Let Daniel Dubois, who is one of those guys who deserves to be up there. He just can't get past Usyk. like Dubois is a world champion. Dubois is excellent. He just can't beat Usyk. So if you're not going to fight those fights, yeah, give up one of those belts. Allow those guys to step into that position because the time is ticking. You said it yourself. You got three fights. And he also said, when I retire, I'm not coming back. I'm done.
He's done.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to retire numerous times. Like, I'm shocked that he wants to do two more. Like, I'm a little shocked that he's still even fighting now. Because
two more is another year and change.
The way that boxers go these days, yeah, that could go into his 40s.
He'll get one more fight this year, and then, yeah, we're looking at another year.
Maybe.
More fight this year. You don't know.
His post-fight interviews after the Fury fight were, you know, those were grueling fights against Fury. I know he won them, but they were grueling. And you could just tell he looks so exhausted and like, I want to go home and sit. What do you say? I want to go sit under a tree with my daughter and just stare out into nothing. I believe him when he says that. So it's crazy to see him still fighting, even if it's against the kickboxers.
It's crazy to see him be able to dig deep every time still. He still does it in terms of he does it in training camp and he does it on fight night. He has to dig deep. That's the thing about Usyk. He's not, yes, he's otherworldly in terms of his skill and his talent, but he's not one of those guys who just shows up and then just smokes everybody. No, he has to dig deep in every single one of these fights. Both Anthony Joshua fights were tough. Those were tough, tough, close fights.
Those
are
very technical fights.
Very tough, very technical. A lot of brain power, a lot of heart. He got hurt to the body in those fights late with AJ, and AJ's a killer puncher. The Tyson Fury fights were grueling, absolutely grueling. But even the Dubois fight, both of them, Dubois is such a dangerous puncher. I've been in the ring with dangerous punchers. You have to think so fast. Mm. You have to be so concerned about everything. You have to be so perfect. Being perfect is exhausting. And Usyk is always perfect. That guy has to dig deep every single time because he has to fight perfect. He is not just this physical talent who can just show up and Daniel Dubois you. The guy can't party the day of the fight and then come here and knock you out. Daniel Dubois can do that. Alexander Usyk can't do that. He's got to be locked in 100%.
I love what I saw from Usyk in the second Dubois fight, his most recent fight. And you said that he's a slow starter, but he really didn't start slow in that fight. He really came out. And he took what Dubois gave him, and Dubois gave him the perfect distance. Dubois did not jab, and we saw that jab against Wardley, how much of a factor it is and how much of a weapon it is.
And Joshua.
And Usyk just and Joshua too with his jab. And then he just laid him out. Like, that could happen in this Verhoeven fight. All right, it's time to bring in a new segment, Chris. We have a new partner. We have partnered with the FanDuel Sportsbook. I love it. We make our picks all the time on this show. Now we have a sportsbook to go along with it. So everyone go out and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you haven't already, we'll have all sorts of codes and all that fun stuff coming your way. So excited for this partnership and all the content that's going to come there. It's time to make or look at the odds for Usyk and Verhoeven. Usyk is a minus 3,000 favorite. That's astronomical for a heavyweight champion. He hasn't been this high of a favorite in a long time. Many, many years, Verhoeven's coming in at plus 1,360. So if you want to try to make some money, you believe in Verhoeven, you can come out looking pretty good. Usyk by decision is plus 500. Usyk by stoppage, minus 700. So that just shows you the type of mismatch on paper this is. The over-under, we were talking about this off the air, 5.5 rounds, which is very low. That's crazy, crazy low. So those are some of the odds for Usyk and Verhoeven. Your thoughts?
I think it's a little disrespectful to Verhoeven, especially because he is super tough. And he, you know,
well, how do you handicap this?
That's the issue. And especially because I think guys who are looking at this, they don't know Verhoeven. Like you said, like you're a boxing guy, you're a hardcore boxing guy. You don't know about kickboxing. You had to scour the internet to find anything on Verhoeven. You know, that, especially if it's accurate, Vegas is not giving him any respect. 5.5 is rough. I think that's the only place where there's money.
Is taking over?
Is over. I'm taking over on that. I think Rico is tough enough, big enough, motivated enough. Guys, you can't overlook his heart. I've seen this guy get dropped bad and then get his eyes shut, cut, like doctor's about to stop it, and just battles back and will come back. And not only stay in the fight and see this, but win. So he does have that. He's dealt with big punchers. The volume, the speed is going to be the issue. But I do think we get some rounds out of it.
Okay, that's perfect, because that goes into what I think there's value here on FanDuel. And that's Usyk to get the stoppage in round 7 through 12.
Yeah.
And you can get that at plus 310 right now.
Nice.
So I'm thinking Verhoeven's going to be tough. I'm thinking he's going to have – he is a prideful guy himself. We're talking about Usyk's pride. Verhoeven's got a ton of pride, and this is the biggest stage he'll ever be on, and I'm sure he wants to go in there and show a good account of himself. So I think with that, and then the toughness that you just talked about, I do think Usyk wins by stoppage, but I do think it comes in the second half of the fight. There's not much value in anything else with Usyk. You know, by decision, plus 500, it's not going the distance. Knockout, minus 700, no, you're not going to make any money on it. You have to put a lot of money up to win something on that. 7 through 12... Usyk plus 310.
Yeah, I don't see a decision, so I don't think there's value there. I do think it goes over 5.5. 7 through 12 is a good bet. It's plus money. Plus 310 is pretty good. But this is one of those fights where you're going to be watching. Dan, you're going to be watching biting your nails. Like, oh, get
over rocking, 6. When Usyk's rocking him in the second round,
yeah,
and he's retreating Verhoeven, and there's no way.
Or when Verhoeven is on the canvas in round 4, and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, I've been there. But yeah. I love round betting. I love the... That's where you find value. Like if you think that there's going to be a stoppage, it just comes down to, is Usyk going to want to get him out of there? Is Usyk going to play with his food? Is Usyk going to, quote unquote, carry him? Because you talked about Floyd and McGregor, about how Floyd came in, you know, like that. And, you know, I think there was a little bit of Floyd being like, I want this fight to go long.
Yeah, Floyd's an entertainer, though.
Entertainment.
Usyk's not.
He dances, Usyk. He's always dancing.
Yeah, but he's a competitor first and foremost. And I think also the fact that he's fighting at heavyweight, you can't take risks. I don't think he can't play with his food, because his food can eat him. So this is heavyweight. This is not like Floyd, where he's fighting guys in, you know, a couple weight classes up or a weight class up, or even like McGregor, who's just not on his skill level at all. You can toy with that. I think Rico is big enough and imposing enough that I don't think Usyk can take his time like that.
Another heavyweight fight on this card that we love is Richard Torres versus Frank Sanchez. Torres is a minus 430 favorite. That's a pretty sizable favorite, considering he's never faced anyone as experienced as Frank Sanchez. Frank is coming in as plus 500 on to win a decision. Sanchez is the underdog in this fight. Torres stoppage is minus 130 right now. So there's not a lot of value there. Like the books think that Torres is going to stop Sanchez in this fight.
I do too. I think the youthful exuberance, the opportunity for Richard Torres, I think this is a coming out party. Frank Sanchez, who apparently has been dealing with some a knee problem for a while.
Right knee injury, inflammation from a surgery.
Yeah. So that's not a good sign. Knees are a big deal in boxing. Heavyweights don't move as much, but it's still big bodies that are on that knee. Everything you do in training involves your knees. So knee injuries are a problem. I had multiple knee surgeries. It changed the way I fought. I think Frank Sanchez is ripe for the picking. And Richard Torres, I think, is just an ascending guy. I think I rate him very highly. I've been very impressed with him lately. That Guido Vianello fight really showed me this guy's a major player.
Yeah, so there's not much value on Torres stopping Sanchez. Pretty good, minus 130. That's not that terrible, but it's minus money. See, if you parlay Usyk 7 through 12 with Torres straight up stoppage, KO, TKO, DQ, plus 554.
Ooh, I like that number. Plus 554.
I'm going to parlay the two because I'm pretty confident in these two picks.
Once you're getting into once I see plus 450,
yeah,
that's like where that. I'm like, all right, I'm going to bet.
This is plus 550.
Yeah. So anything above plus 400, plus 450 for me, I'm like, all right, these are the kind of bets that I like. I like juicy bets. That's a juicy bet.
Love that. Thank you to FanDuel Sportsbook, our new sponsor on Inside Boxing. In addition to this being a really intriguing heavyweight fight, Torres and Sanchez, to your point too with Torres, the winner of this fight is the IBF mandatory to Usyk. I don't think the winner will get Usyk right away. I think Usyk has given up belts in the past, and we know that Usyk's the best. We know that he's undisputed. He has no problem relinquishing belts. But I think for Torres, this is a very, very meaningful fight. He wins this fight. He does it in emphatic fashion. We both think he's going to get a stoppage. He is now on the scene because he had fought a lot of mismatched opponents early on in his top-ranked career. The Vianello fight was a step up, and we're wondering what this guy is. You know, he's undersized, but he's got a lot of power, and he's got a lot of athleticism. Great personality, too. I think boxing would benefit having this guy on a bigger stage because he's hilarious, doing magic tricks.
He's also American, Dan. Don't forget that.
I'm burying the lead here. He's American.
We got great heavyweights. Yeah.
We need that.
We need American heavyweights.
So I think this is super significant. I know it's the undercard and all the tensions going to Usyk and all that, but you know, this could be the real big coming out party for Torres at a time where, like, you know, yeah, we need an American heavyweight.
Yeah, and I think Sanchez is the right foil at the right time. Sanchez, if he was 100% healthy, and this was a couple of years ago, Sanchez is a tough guy. Very, very, he's good, very good. But I think age, I think the injury, I think the timing of this is just right, and the platform, forget it. Richard Torres strikes me as the kind of guy who's going to rise to occasions, and this is a big occasion.
Yeah, this fight has been postponed numerous times because of the knee of Sanchez, right knee surgery a year back, and then inflammation. Supposed to be on multiple PBC events, this fight. And now it lands on the Usyk card, which I think kind of benefits both fighters here. It's a bigger platform. Torres, if he should win. That Sanchez's best win was FA Ajagba, but that was 5 years ago. You had the stoppage loss to Caballero, body shots. Oh, I rewatched that fight yesterday. That was Caballero, so good, man.
Brutal. Brutal body. Best heavyweight body puncher in the game.
Attacking Sanchez. So he has been stopped before, Frank. And his best win was 5 years ago. And is he 33? Looks asterisk. 53.
Yeah.
It's Cuban.
Yeah. Cuban 33.
Cuban 33. So he's much older. And there's a lot stacked against Sanchez in this fight. Love the fight. Hamza Shahraz fighting Alim Begic. This is for the vacant WBO 168-pound title. Shahraz has a minus 3,000 favorite. So he's the same size favorite as Usyk against...
Vegas likes that number, huh? The minus 3,000 for this fight?
Vander likes that number, yeah. Minus 3,000. I've seen other... they like that. Shahraz has not fought since that brutal knockout of Berlanga in July of last year, but that's because...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but we're seeing this in boxing, like with Rolly and Haney. It's like he was trying to make fights. He was trying to make fights at Munguia. They were trying to figure out this 168-pound picture with Crawford getting all the belts off of Canelo and then retiring and all the games that come along with that. So that's four relinquished belts at 168 and where the pieces aligning. Shahraz was supposed to fight Munguia. Munguia then fought Resendez. Shahraz is then looking, they're looking down the line at WBR, right? Who's the next up at the rankings? And they're not big names. Like Alim Begic is 39 years old. He's undefeated, but he's untested out of Germany. He's a massive underdog.
Yeah, rightfully so. You said everything you needed. 39 out of Germany, untested. Has a couple good wins from guys who have good records. You know, undefeated. You know, 10-0 his last fight, 18-0 his last fight. You know, so he's got wins there, fighting for the WBO European super middleweight title. I don't know how much weight you're going to put with that, but I don't know. I just think that Shiraz is the goods. It's not gonna matter. This is minus 3,000 for a reason, and it's a good reason.
He's a guy that could really take over this division.
Yes.
I like Shiraz Munguia. That's a massive, massive fight next year. Maybe this year. Who knows? Munguia looked, I think, the best he's ever looked against Resendez. I look at those two as the best at 168. No offense to Canelo. Iglesias has a belt, the IBF. He looked pretty good too, but in his win a few months back. But to me, Shiraz wins this, and he's probably going to knock this guy out, and it's going to be violent, because I think anything he does is violent. The Berlanga knockout was emphatic.
Brutal.
Does that to Bedric, probably what's going to happen. And then hopefully he calls out Munguia, and we get a unification bout. But he's probably going to also mention Canelo, because Canelo is fighting Mabili for the vacant WBC title, and that's a fight that Turkey wants for Canelo, is Shiraz. Like, they've been linked together for like 2 years now.
Let's not forget Lester Martinez too. That's he's another major player.
Lester. Always forgotten about him. Sorry, Lester.
Yeah, he's another
because of that draw
at 168. Man, the draw that should have been a win, but
he should have been two more rounds if anything.
Exactly, he got robbed of those two rounds and potentially being the opponent of Canelo Alvarez right now.
How do you live?
Nah, he's got his eyes focused on what's in front of him. He's got a big date coming up at the end of August.
Yeah, but he like Canelo.
Yeah. Yeah, he might never get Canelo, but you know he's in the interim position with the WBC, so he's supposed to be next in line for the winner of Mbili and Canelo.
Imagine Lester Canelo in Southern California.
Sick. For those at home who don't know, Lester is from Guatemala. He does ridiculous numbers. Yeah, like he really sells, and Mexican fans love him as well. That's a huge fight. Lester Canelo Alvarez and Lester Martinez in SoCal,
still could
or in Vegas. You can always go to Vegas, and
they can travel. Probably going to be in Vegas. Well, it's probably going to be in Saudi Arabia the way Canelo's going.
Do you think Canelo likes fighting in Saudi?
I doubt it. I'll speak for him. No, there's no way he likes fighting there. Are you kidding? No way.
Because he's a performer, man. He likes the energy of the people.
None of these fighters like fighting there. The food, the experience, all these guys are either getting sick or underperforming. There's no way you enjoy fighting there. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
Would you enjoy fighting there?
No, I need a crowd. That's why I chose not to fight during the pandemic. I didn't want to fight in bubbles.
You fought in Macau, China. Like, how much did that switch up and shake up your whole?
But there was still 18,000 people there.
Right. That part also sucks. They're getting better with the arenas. Like, the Canelo fight should have some people in there, like thousands.
I don't know. Dude, we have a global conflict going on in that area. Like,
forgot about that.
That's very, we can't overlook that. Things change.
There hasn't
fast.
Been a fight in Saudi in a while.
Yeah, there's a good reason.
November, I think the Haney Benavidez supercard was the last time there was a fight in Saudi.
Listen, as unpredictable as boxing is, the war is a lot worse.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Shiraz should win. He should get the stoppage, and then we can look to some unifications. Some good names at 168 between him and Billy Canelo, Lester, and others. Pacheco. Leaving some out.
That's one I always forget about. Even though I like Pacheco, I like Diego a lot, but I do forget.
He's
about
so
him.
Start and stop with his career. It's like momentum stop.
Yeah. Like, he looks unbeatable, and then he looks beatable.
Yeah, you got to forget he's like 20 something, early 20s. He's below 25. Shakram Giasov, Jack Catterall. This is for some WBA interim title. It's not the full WBA title because that's Rolly. This is like you win, and then like even though Giasov has been the mandatory for Rolly or the WBA 147 pound champion years.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This is a win. This is a fight for him to get paid and to actually get in the ring. Because I think he's been getting paid the step aside fees for quite a while now. He's living off of those, like those no show jobs. Wow, you see in The Sopranos.
This is a tough guy to pull if you're getting back into the ring after sitting out for a long. Yes, Catterall is a crafty guy. And he looks even better at 47 as of late. He's a very crafty guy. Not the kind of guy you want to draw if you haven't been that active and you're finally getting an opportunity.
Is Ketterall still with Bozienis? Which I think is the funniest link up ever, like just personality standpoint. You got a guy from Philly, black guy from Philly, and a quiet, soft-spoken British guy. But it's worked.
It's worked.
Ketterall, he is what he is. Like he's not the most exciting fighter, but he scores a lot of knockdowns, but he never goes for the knockout. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing about him that I'm like, dude, be a little more aggressive, and you get these stoppages because he has great power. Doesn't throw a lot of punches. Throws around 40 punches.
He has great timing, and his punches are stiff. He's got good technique, good structure. I wouldn't say he's got great power. I'd say he's got very good timing and good stiffness on the end of his shots. But then also the loss to Arnold Barboza really that's hard to forget. Yeah. It's hard to forget.
He's got wins over Linares, Taylor, Progre. None of those have aged well.
No,
those are all guys on the tail end of their careers.
Yeah. Yep.
Loses to Barboza. That's like the Spider-Man meme. Barboza and Ketterall, similar.
The most forgettable fight is an unforgettable performance for me in my head, like a result in my head. It's like, you got that loss.
A fight where, nothing. I mean, good for Barboza. I think that solidified the TO fight for him. I like this fight. It's the closest odds of all the fights on the card.
Most competitive fight on the card for sure.
Ketterall wins. He finds himself in a position to maybe fight Rolly. I think Ketterall Rolly is a little more
enticing.
Can make some money. Or if GSF Rolly makes zero money, or they would have made it already.
You also got the winner of Crocker and Powerl.
The IBF route. Yeah.
47 is
which
weird.
No fighter seems to go.
No.
Great and Adrian Broner caught up with Rolly Romero randomly on the street.
That's a hell of a link.
Oh my God. That's the beauty of streaming. Not that I'm going to a streaming tangent again here, but like you never know who you're going to bump into. And Dean the Great and AB, who apparently have ended their friendship because Broner stiffed him on some money. Saw that coming. But Rolly shows up and Broner is like, dude, you have so... Broner's just so, what's the word? Blunt. He's like, Rolly, you have a lot of weird energy. You're a weirdo. Like, you are a strange guy. Because Rolly's like, I haven't had sex in 50 weeks. And they're like, what? They're like, what the...
He just outs that? That wasn't asked of him, I'm sure.
I don't know how it came up. I don't know how that came up. But Rolly's like, I haven't had sex in 50 weeks. And Broner and... Dean, like, you're nutless in 50 weeks. He's like, no wonder you're so fucking weird. No, like your energy right now is weird. That's what Broner is saying. And Rolly's just like, yeah, I'm weird. It was freaking great.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Broner didn't waste no time, went right to it.
He is weird. Like, I've been around, we've all been around Rolly. Like, that's his charm. That's part of his charm. I think he's gotten much more mature over the years. And the Rolly we saw in the Tank press conference and the Tank lead up to Rolly today is a different guy.
Totally different guy. I mean, I was saying how bad of a trash talker he was because of that lead up, but now I think he's actually really good. I think he's actually a very, very good trash talker.
Yeah. He should get the winner of this fight. When I say should, there's a massive asterisk next to it.
Yeah. I don't know what they're doing with that kid. Yeah. He's a world champion. He hasn't fought in a year and change.
It's the dark side of boxing. It's the worst part of boxing. It's guarantees, pay-per-views. Haney didn't want to put up his own money because he didn't think he'd make anything back on it by fighting Rolly. Because that fight should have been in 9 days. And we were supposed to get Haney versus Rolly Romero May 30th at Barclays Center.
I like that fight too. I really like that fight, especially because
we're supposed to get Ryan versus Rolly. We're supposed to get Rolly versus Pacquiao. Rolly versus Ben.
Yeah. That Rolly Pacquiao was close.
He's been linked to all these guys and he's got none of them, Rolly, so he's been sitting out. GSF has been his mandatory. This is like the worst part about boxing is this, but I'm glad to see Ketterall hop in there. It's going to be a tough fight. GSF is a big body puncher. 40% of his landed shots are to the body. He's got knockout power. we'll see. That's the four big fights on this card. Decent. I mean, the Torres Sanchez one, I'm really interested in. Obviously, I want to see what Verhoeven, if that has like that freak novelty. Shiraz win. GSF Carroll should be a technical type of fight. Decent card on Saturday, Memorial Day weekend, middle of the afternoon. Yikes.
Yikes. Yeah, I think it's an entertaining card because you've got big enough names. You do have that Catterall fight. We'll be tuned in, of course, but I don't know. I'm proud of my guy Rico. I hope he goes out there and performs.
Yeah, this is a win for him. Like, by all accounts, he seems like a very respectful guy and great dude, and he's showing great respect towards boxing. He hasn't embarrassed himself in the lead up to this at all.
No, he's been endearing. In the ring. Very
endearing. Yeah, like, great guy, but not getting a lot of buzz. Like, there isn't
he's
a lot
funny
of buzz
too, though. He's also pretty funny. He's
the Dutch humor.
Yeah.
It's not getting a lot of hype, this fight, because I just think fans are just like, come on, we're done with these fights. We're done with these novelty fights. Put them to rest. We don't want to watch MMA guys fight boxers. We don't want to watch, definitely don't watch kickboxers fight boxers.
Well, we don't want to watch the top of the sport do these fights. Not in the middle of their career. If you were doing your little like world tour and want to do this at the end of your career, kind of like how I said, like if Canelo wanted to just not worry about belts and then just go fight in the UK and go fight in Australia and then like go to Japan, like I think that's awesome. I think it's good for the sport. I think it's good for your fans. I think it's good for your legacy. You know, if Usyk wanted to do that and go on a little tour and, you know, travel and have fun and get fights in and perform for his fans and whatnot, I really actually like that. I wish more guys would actually do that. But when you're at the top of the game, holding on to belts,
but the stupid WBC doesn't allow it.
That's the problem. And it's not Usyk's fault. Like they're throwing a bunch of money at him to go fight a guy that, you know, he's probably going to handle quite easily.
And there's no penalties either for Usyk.
No penalties at all. That's why you can't blame him. It's like
WBC is not saying, hey, you fight that kickboxer, that belt's gone. No, they're there with another belt. Like there's a commemorative belt for this fight that Suleiman's trotting out. What a strange situation. Suleiman is there in Egypt with his performative belt and his real belt for this fight, going up against a guy in Turkey who's staging the event, who wants to put him out of business.
Yeah, interesting.
Like,
good point.
What are those interactions like? Is it just like, hey, we're all making money, we're all rich, who cares? Ha ha, laugh, shake hands. Probably.
That's the thing that people don't realize. Like the promoters who are at each other's throats, you know, in front of the camera are cutting deals and smoking cigars together behind the closed doors.
No shame. Before we say goodbye, Ryan Garcia says via Jimmy Fallon show, first time ever sourcing Jimmy Fallon on this podcast, that he's fighting Conor Benn on September 12th in Las Vegas. Do we believe it? Because Ryan Garcia has said he's fighting everyone. I have heard from people in the know that Ryan Garcia will be fighting Rolly Romero this summer/fall. I'm fine with a Conor Benn fight. I hope that happens. But we've seen Ryan do this. He gets a little excited. He's in his tuxedo. He's in front of Jimmy Fallon. He throws out a Conor Benn name.
He said it first on stream. When he said it on stream, I was like, all right, like you said, he's just excited. Jimmy Fallon's a little different. There's a lot of eyes on Jimmy Fallon. You know you're under the microscope. So I wish we had a FanDuel bet for this one. My bet is that it is the next fight. Conor Benn, Ryan Garcia, Conor Benn for the WBC title happens next. And it happens in September. I'm telling you.
I'll gladly be. I'm not even saying I'm right or wrong. Like I've just seen this story from Ryan before. Like Oscar is the one who is the boss here. He's the one that picks Ryan Garcia's fights. Doesn't have a lot of big time fighters anymore, Oscar. So Ryan is one of his prized possessions, and
but the fight just makes too much sense.
It makes too much sense. I agree.
Even for Oscar to disrupt it, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense for anyone. This makes sense for literally all parties involved. It makes sense for Ryan. Obviously, he gets a defense with a very, very notable name guy and a guy he can likely beat. And then you've got Ben, who's going to fight the money guy in the division. He's going to get his title fight. And even for Oscar, it's like, there's going to be a lot of green around this fight. There's going to be a lot of prestige around this fight. A lot of eyes. The marketing of this is going to be gigantic.
So I agree.
It just makes fun. It makes sense for absolutely everybody involved.
It's a way bigger fight than the Rolly fight, which I've heard from multiple people in Vegas during the Benavidez fight. We've given our guy ESPN Knockout. I don't know why I'm forgetting his name. Salvador. He was even saying heavy rumors of Ryan Rolly. That fight makes sense because Golden Boy and PBC have great synergy. They worked together on that May 5th card with Benavidez. It was awesome. They're working great together. There isn't as much synergy between Golden Boy and Zuffa, Golden Boy and Ring. I mean, Gosker's going to freaking Senate hearings talking about how bad they are. Zuffa has signed Conor Benn. That's the roadblock with this fight. And I use roadblock in quotes because anything could get changed with money. You throw enough money at it, you put it on a Ring card, which people have thrown at me as well. Like, there are no roadblocks. Make it a Ring card. Ryan has fought on Ring cards. Ben has fought on Ring cards. But the thing is that WBC belt that Ryan had proudly on his shoulder on Fallon out there, huge. Mm-hmm. How is that going to come into play here? Is WBC going to go through with that on a bigger stage here with Ben, who is a Zuffa fighter? It's not the same thing as the Opetaia situation because that was literally fought in the Apex. The Zuffa title was on the line, which the IBF used as their way to skirt out of it. It's not exactly the same, but it has a little bit of the same smell to it.
Yeah, but you know what the difference is? Opetaia was the champion.
Oh,
Ben's not. Yeah. So you have an opportunity to grab a belt and bring it back to Zuffa rather than defend your belt, which is already there. So it's another feather in the cap for Zuffa to be like, listen, our guy beats your guy and we got your belt now. What we do with this is whatever we please.
Oh, that's another thing. Is WBC going to do that? If Ben somehow beats Ryan, which is not out of the question by any means, I don't think it's going to happen. But if Ben beats Ryan Garcia, the WBC has to know that that belt is going over to, it's, this is like pro wrestling. The belt's going to Zuffa's side and Dana's, and they're holding it up. Ha ha, look what we got. Yep. Your green belt.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
We're going to cut it up. We'll spray paint it NWO
We can disrespect your belt. It literally is like NWO and WWE and WWF back in the day. But
those are the roadblocks that I said. I put out a tweet. Ryan Garcia retweeted it. You don't know shit, Dan. Respectfully. So thank you for the respectfully. Honestly, yeah, really appreciate that. Yeah, because even you know, Ryan, that you and Rolly is the fallback option here if this Ben fight doesn't happen.
I also think that Ryan will be a lot more motivated for Ben than the Rolly fight, even though he's going to get back that leg. I think he might have, I don't know. He is a go back into
the ring. A lot of guys are avoiding Rolly for.
Yeah. He's a difficult out. He's a very difficult guy to fight. He's got a strange style. He can punch. He's very physical. He's rough. There's not a clear, clean path to victory with Rolly. With Ben, especially coming off of the Prograde fight where he looked not good, it seems like a much easier, cleaner fight. And you could see the path that you can make it pretty easy.
Yeah, we'll see. Today is Thursday. Oscar is due put out clap back Thursday.
He's going to clap back at you, Dan. Be like, Dan, you don't know shit about boxing.
Oscar? No, man. I've been in there in the right way. No, he put me in for our uniform rant.
This is boxing. You can be in the good graces on Wednesday and then the bad graces on Thursday.
I think Oscar would agree with me that Ben wouldn't be next. Because when I did interview Oscar, he said Haney or... I don't know what Oscar would want out of this. Probably Ben.
Probably the money.
The money. There's more money in the Ben fight, and it's a more winnable fight than Rolly.
Yes. It's a good first defense.
And Oscar versus Dana up on the stage, if that happens,
maybe they should allow it. Maybe they can fight each other. They can lace him up and go.
Oscar's going to kick his ass. I think Eddie can beat Dana.
I mean, when I saw Eddie knock out Frank a bunch of years ago, I was like, okay.
I remember that. And he's also in really good shape, Eddie. He's on like the front cover of Men's Health.
Big guy. Eddie's a really big, tall, long guy.
Yeah, Eddie's in good shape. Dana's not. Dana got fat again. He even said it.
Yeah, I saw that.
He's off that like weird diet and everything. All right, when we're talking about Dana White's body physique, it's time to end the show, guys. Have a great weekend. Memorial Day weekend. Knicks on top. Three more wins.
Knicks are
in the NBA Finals.
Bro, we got a team? What's going on?
22-point comeback. The biggest comeback in Knicks playoff history.
People are still recovering from that.
Yes, I am.
I've got friends who went out in New York City, and they're still hurting.
New York is on top right now. Let's go Knicks.
I gotta wear my Knicks jersey with the Algeria on it.
Let's go Knicks. All right, everyone. We will see you next time when we recap Usyk and all that. I don't know when it's gonna come because it is a holiday weekend. We'll either do it on Sunday or we'll do it later on in the week. Next week, enjoy your weekend. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourself at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We're out.